Branding BFF is a member of the Queen City Podcast Network, powered by Ortho Carolina. Find out more at queencitypodcastnetwork.com.
Welcome to Branding BFF, a podcast for service businesses, creative professionals, and coaches. I'm your host, Lisa Spear. I'll be having authentic conversations with entrepreneurs and brand creators, so you can gain behind-the-scenes insights and inspiration to apply to your brand and business. Please note, these are uncensored conversations with guests, so there's a chance they'll be adult language. Today's topic is the courage to stand out, and I've invited Nisha Pai to join me. She is founder of Pai CPA, and additionally, she's an author and speaker. There's a couple reasons why I picked Nisha for this conversation. I've heard about Nisha through the grapevine since I moved to Charlotte 4 years ago, so I'm excited to get to know her better today. Number two, Nisha is not your typical CPA. She's willing to stand out in how she approaches and runs her business. And number three, Nisha launched her personal brand recently. With public speaking topics like Black Sheep Business Owner, it was a no-brainer to invite her for this topic. Welcome, Nisha.
Thank you for being here. I'm honored.
Well, I'm so glad we get to talk about the courage to stand out, and I feel like there's so much that you're bringing to the table for this conversation. Oftentimes we start with talking immediately about branding, but in this case, I'd love to, before we even talk about branding, to describe a little bit about what are some obvious ways you stand out in your industry.
In my industry, first and foremost is the way that I dress.
Okay. Because we're auditory here.
Yeah.
Describe it.
Well, you know, I don't think I ever wore, maybe when I first started working at Arthur Andersen out of school, I wore the navy suits and hose and heels.
Yes.
But over the years, I have developed my own style. And in my previous firm, before I stepped out on my own, and this stands out to me, I was told I was colorful.
Okay.
And that they could know when I was coming down the hallway. And I'm like, what does that mean? Is that a backhanded compliment? But because I am not afraid to wear color. I'm not afraid to wear just stylish clothes that's out of the ordinary. You know, I ditch the suits. I don't think I've worn a suit since 1990. And I wear bold jewelry, and I just like to stand out visually.
Yeah.
And, that is very atypical, right, in a CPA culture. So I feel like I intimidated people because I was so bold in just how I would even just dress.
Particularly if the navy suit is the standard.
Yes. Or just suits and boring CPA clothes.
Yeah. And what else is most typical in the industry in terms of like who's in the industry? And
yeah, you know, you find more introverted personalities, right? So that was another reason I feel like I stood out, because I'm very loud. I'm outgoing. I feel like I should be Italian in some ways. I'm always talking with my hands and just have the loudest voice in the office, like in mm-hmm. everywhere that I've worked. And I'm always laughing. And so, you know, most CPAs are introverts and they like to crunch out tax returns. And that was never me. So my personality always stood out.
So when we think about how we stand out, you know, there's also the things that they're born with. And then there's also the things that we choose. And what would you say, how much is intentional versus how much is just, you feel like you're just being yourself?
I think I'm 90% to myself. I mean, I remember going out with my family for dinners, family dinners, and my mom would always have to be like, stop laughing that loud. I'm like, Mom, I'm not doing it purposefully. Right? You know, it's just my personality is just, I'm very, I feel like I have a really passionate personality. So it comes out in how I speak and what I say and just my expressions and my mannerisms. It's just who I am.
And how different are you from your parents?
Oh, gosh. I mean, they would fit the typical CPA mode. I take that back. My dad was the life of the party, but, you know, they're very, they're much more conservative in you know, their speech and their dress and you know. But me, I was the one that always stood out in all of that, in my whole family.
Yeah.
the loudest person. Yeah.
That's great. So how has courage come into play when you just think about the industry as a whole that you've been working in?
Yeah. You know, I start started my career here in 1993 in Charlotte. It was a very good old boy network.
Okay.
At that time. Probably still is. I mean, the industry as a whole really is. And so, I was one of the few females and definitely one of the few minority people in the office I started out in. And I just think that took courage to just be able to step into that situation and feel, I felt left out a lot. Yeah. And I got counseled out, that's the term in public accounting, 2 years in because I didn't fit into the mold.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole corporate culture, like the fitting in versus the standing out, right?
Right. And at that time, it was really upsetting. But, you know, all these years later, I'm like, thank God I didn't fit in.
So you created your own business. Mm-hmm. And what are the ways you've created your business to stand out and do it your way?
Well, I started my business 8 years ago.
Okay.
And it wasn't really perfect and pretty how it happened. I was at a firm for 5 years. I'm a single mom. And I went back out into the workforce after my divorce and worked at a local firm for 5 years part-time. And in the fifth year that I was there, I went to my boss to ask for a raise and to increase my hours. And he proceeded to tell me that I was not good enough to have that raise because I was a stay-at-home mom for 6 years and I just wasn't where my peers were. And I literally that day, I write about this in my upcoming book. I Jerry Maguire'd out of the firm. I made that a verb, right? I Jerry Maguire'd out of the firm. I took my one big client with me. I walked out the doors. I would have taken the goldfish if there were goldfish. I walked out the doors and I said, I'm going to do this myself. I do not want my fate or my future to be in man's hand, right? And I'm like, I can do this better than he told me I could do it. And I'm going to prove it. And so I walked out that day. And literally, as I was walking to my car, in my mind, I'm like, okay, what's my logo going to look like? What are my colors? you would appreciate that as a branding person. That was the first thing I thought of. Not the fact that, I just walked out of my job.
Well, it's so interesting because, our topic is courage to stand out. But what I hear is, like, it wasn't that it took courage to leave a company and start your own. But the part about the standing out is the part that sometimes can take the courage and to go against the grain and not do exactly what your peers do, or to be like, no, I actually deserve this raise. It's not about how long I've been working. It's the results I can deliver.
Oh, right. And I walked in with a sheet of paper of all my accolades and accomplishments in those 5 years, right, which didn't matter to him. But, I saw him like 2 years later and I actually thanked him for that. But, when I ran down the hallway, it was probably about as ugly as Jerry Maguire did it. Everyone's like looking out like, what's going on? And I feel like I created this sort of precedence, and women there were like, well, dang, she stood up for herself. So,
yeah,
I'm going to do it.
No, that's great.
Yeah.
So how would you say that your business is run now that might be different than some of the other accounting firms or CPA
so
firms?
I started a completely, it was relatively new, a niche 8 years ago. It's called Client Accounting Services. And basically, it was sort of this new emerging thing that was coming out of accounting. So most of accounting is commoditized. You either have a tax return or an audit. This new service was like an advisory service, like we're going to be more your partner. And so there was a service that had just started. It was like basically being an outsourced accounting department.
Okay.
For small businesses who couldn't afford a full-time staff or a full-time CFO or controller. And I said, this is such an underserved market. And I saw that in my previous firm. And I said, I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
I can do this because I love financial statements. I know that's the nerd in me. They're like a puzzle. And I said, I can help people on the front end of accounting. Yeah. I look at the tax return as a back end, but I can help them on the front end. So I started this niche, and there is no other firm in Charlotte that does exactly what I do and how I do it. And, I created my own methodology and process of how I can scale it. So, if we have a client and we onboard them, it's like you know, boom, 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 here's a process. Here's how we do their monthly closeouts. So I created a whole process around this niche. And about 3 or 4 years into my business, I was doing a referral call for a potential candidate that I was hiring. Not referral, but reference call. And the older gentleman on the other end, who was a colleague in the good old boy network, we'll say, had actually gone to my website to do research on me. And so he interrupted me for a minute. He said, "This is a personal question, but I have something to ask you." And I'm like, "What?" He's like, I went to your website and I don't exactly understand what you do." And I explained it to him. He said, "Well, you know, I tried to implement that in my firm." And he said, it just didn't work. He's like, "How do you make any money?"
Oh, wow.
Like, he had the guts to say this to me, and yeah. I will never forget it. And I just thought about that for a second, and my response was, "Well, I mean, you're not me."
Yeah.
You know, you're not me. And so it's funny because other firms have tried to implement what I do within their firm. And I mean, I've made my entire firm around just this one niche.
Yeah. So it became your secret sauce.
Yes, my secret sauce. That's what we're going to call it.
Yes. Are there any other ways that you feel like as a business that you stand out, either how you do business, who your clients are?
My clients. Yeah, I call them prestigious A-list clients. So I have some really prestigious, you know, restaurant groups here. I have a country rock band from Austin, Texas. I have a female UFC fighter. So, you know, it runs the gamut. And I like to pride myself on this prestigious client list. And all of my clients have come from word of mouth. I got one from LinkedIn, which LinkedIn works, right? But yeah, it's just been really awesome to see how it's kind of evolved in that way. But I feel like I have this really amazing client list. And so I'm not scared to put them on social media or put them on my website to showcase them. And that's usually kind of a no taboo thing to do in our industry. You don't see many CPAs, you know, because of confidentiality, talk about who their clients are.
But your clients are willing.
Are willing. And when I say, "Can I put you on my website or can I post you on social media?" They're like, "Absolutely."
Well, what's great about that is it really helps build the additional credibility. Like, you know what you're capable of, but there's nothing like clients telling how great you are.
Oh, yeah. And, and you know, if I ask for a testimonial, they're like, "Absolutely." Or, "Can I post you?" "Absolutely." And I'm like, "That's awesome," because a lot of my peers are not doing that.
Yeah. You know. So with having your own business, what's the area that you feel like you've had to really draw your courage from? When it comes to, like, are people coming after you because you do things differently? Are people critiquing you? Or where do you feel like that place that you need to kind of, like, "Oh, I created my business on my own and I felt really good about doing it," but where does courage come in?
I've just never been scared.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Fear is not in my DNA, and I don't know if that's normal. I mean, I have a normal amount of fear. It's not like I have no fear, but I am not afraid to try anything.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid. Yeah.
The thing that we'll jump to your personal brand in just a second, but the thing when I was looking at your website for your personal brand, the thing that really caught my eye was the honesty and vulnerability. Because for me, that fear can be seen, like, you'd be like, "Oh, I conquered my fear and that's courage." But actually, when I read the honesty and vulnerability, I was like, "Oh, yeah, that's another flavor of courage."
Yes. Just
being willing to be honest and willing to be vulnerable.
Yeah, I grew up in a culture and a family where everything should have been like under the rug, right? And so it didn't fit with me. So my mom would always say to me, like, "Oh, you share too much." And maybe there were points that I did. Sure, I did. But I want to connect at the very basic human level. And if you think about it, we all experience the same things.
Yeah.
And I'm not afraid to share it.
And then there's the part where I think I remember reading your parents were immigrants.
Yes.
So what was different perhaps about where they came from and your experience being first generation here? Ooh,
I wrote a whole chapter about that. Two, actually.
Well, first, where are your parents from?
India.
Where in India?
In Mangalore, in Karnataka, okay. which is near Bangalore. It's on the south west coast.
Okay.
And there are only 300,000 of us in the world.
Wow.
Of my particular, I call it a tribe, I don't know, community. And so even I felt like an outcast with Indian people.
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't, I didn't understand their language. They didn't understand mine. There's over 200 dialects.
Yeah.
So, you know, I literally tried when I was born and I was born and raised in East Tennessee, and I tried so hard to assimilate and be a white American.
Yeah.
Right. It wasn't until many years later, that I was like, man, I'm proud of being Indian. Yeah. Right.
Well, and I don't remember her last name. Have you listened to the podcast Armchair Expert?
No.
Okay, sounds so interesting. The co-host, her name is Monica, and she was raised in Georgia. She's Indian as well.
I gotta find her.
And she absolutely was talking about how she tried to assimilate, be white, pretend she wasn't Indian. So it's just very interesting. Like, you guys had a very similar experience being just one state away.
Wow, I need to find her. And, yeah. You know, I'm a lot older, but I see a lot of sort of the younger part of my generation, or maybe if it's in the next generation, really come out and be bold and be who they are. You know, I wanted to go to FIT or Parsons because I'm left and right brained and love fashion. And my parents were like, no, we're not paying for that, right? So that's yeah. why I even went into accounting. They were like, you got to be a lawyer, doctor, accountant, engineer, you know?
But I think that is one thing that really does distinguish you and helps you stand out is your love of creativity, your love of fashion. So let's switch gears to your personal brand, because I feel like that's where it even shines to that whole other dimension.
Thank you for saying that, because you're making me smile ear to ear, because that was the goal, right? Was to kind of let's level it up. When I put my personal brand out here, it's going to be like, this is who I am.
Yeah, yeah, so your personal brand, Nisha Pai. So tell us a little bit about what all is included in it. I know we talked about speaking, being an author.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about this personal brand and how you even decided to create a personal brand when you have a very successful business brand.
Yeah, it actually is built around my book, which is coming out in January 2020. And this book had been on my heart for a long time. And I said, well, if I write this book, I'm going to have to create a whole separate brand around it, because – my book's not about accounting. It's about my life. And I said, that's not going to go well in my accounting business. So I built the brand around the book. And then I'm using the book as a platform to speak and do workshops. And so I was, oh, okay, I'm going to make this the Nisha Pai brand. And all non-accounting things are going to flow from this brand. And because it's non-accounting, I could be as colorful and sassy as I want to be, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Because there's still a level of, you know, I still have to be a little more on the conservative side in my accounting brand and what I yeah. what I portray out there. So this is a way I can portray myself and who I fully am,
right,
by creating this, you know, additional brand.
Yeah, I always think about, you know, your human personality and your brand personality. They're still reflective of you, but often the business one or your brand personality in things that are more business focused, I mean, it's you, but it's still crafted, right?
Yes.
Where when you're saying, oh, this is my personal brand, it's all about you. It's not about necessarily what you're providing for clients. It's about who you are and people are connecting to you specifically
yes.
and your story.
Yes. And it's funny because I love what you do. And even with my own branding person, I advise entrepreneurs. I'm like, get a good lawyer, get a good CPA, get an amazing branding person.
Yeah.
That's it. These are the top three things you need when you start out. And because it's important, just like you said, I mean, that's what you're sending out into the world.
It is. It's got to reflect you. And I think that's where authenticity, a lot of people can say it feels like a buzzword these days. But I think with the age of so many things feeling fake, it's so refreshing when you can just tell someone's being themselves.
Yeah.
Like, I think we
yeah.
all crave it.
We do. We do. And I, you know, my radar is such where now when I meet somebody, I could tell, like, are they, how much of their mask are they wearing? Right. Because we all wear the mask, but I'm like, how much are they wearing?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
one of the talks that you have on your listed on your website is Black Sheep Business Owner. I love the title. Why did you create that particular topic? And can you tell us about it without giving away your whole talk?
Well, a lot of it is based on, I, when I get up in front of a room of people and I'm like, hey, you know, here's my background. I passed the exam the first round. I was a senior. I worked for the number one accounting firm in the world. And I'm like, you know, how many of you think that I would have come out with this perfect business plan, 3-year pro formas, you know, executive summary? How many of you think would that I did that? And, you know, most everybody would raise their hand, will raise their hand. That is not how I came out into entrepreneurship. And I just, you know, kind of relayed the story earlier in our interview. But it's really talking about breaking the rules and the boundaries and sort of the limitations of what we think, you know, stepping out into entrepreneurship is. And just jumping off the cliff without – sometimes a lot of times you have to jump off the cliff without this perfect package. And I don't even have a business plan. Mm-hmm. Never had one.
Well, and the cool thing is you actually walked out with a client. When I started my first business, I'd been working in New York. That's where I built my career. The account I was working on at the time was Samsung. I was working for a big agency. Well, we lost that account. The company wasn't doing well. And I just like, I'll just start my own company.
Wow. So you did it too.
Clientless yeah. and clueless. But, you know, it was the thing that I had it on my list to do. I just didn't think I was ready. And sometimes you're just never ready. You just have to jump sometimes.
Yeah. And you're forced to jump sometimes.
Are there things I wish I knew that I know now?
Absolutely.
For sure. Yeah. But I do think, you know, it was, you know, New York's a very sink or swim environment.
And yes.
So the fact that sometimes you're like, well, I'll figure it out along the way.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, that's a lot of the black sheep business owner type of thing, because I meet so many entrepreneurs who are like, you know, they have the perfect software of creating this business plan. And hey, Nisha, can you help me with my 3-year performer? And I say to them, I'm like, your performer is going to go out the door.
Well, and that's one thing I say when I'm working with people on their brand foundation. Like, you have to pick a direction.
Yes.
It's going to change. So your business will evolve. Your brand will evolve. But you want to get it as tight in the beginning as you can. Not perfection, but you just want to pick a direction. You want to be like, yeah, this is who I really want to work with. This is really what I want to offer. This is what I'm standing for. This is what I'm committed to for my clients. We'll do everything we can to align it where you're at now and where you see yourself heading, but it's going to change.
It absolutely does. I changed my logo 3 times. I changed some of my offerings until I finally just said, hey, this is what I really am good at and where I'm making money. I'm just going to stick with this one thing. And so absolutely it does. And I just feel like so many people think that you have to have this perfect plan. And no, I think being an entrepreneur is about being a black sheep and breaking the rules and looking for alternatives and doing things differently.
And so going back to the honesty and vulnerability we were starting to talk about, just tell me a little bit more about why that's important to you, why you brought that into even your web copy.
I did, right? I now love the web copy because my branding expert, she gets me. So I said, you know, I want real out here. And it is important to me because, you know, especially in my book, like I'm sharing my story and it is very vulnerable. And I have connected with people because of my vulnerability.
Yeah.
People respect me because of my vulnerability. And I'm because we all want to connect at the very basic human level. At least I do.
Yeah.
And I have a problem if I can't connect with you on a deeper level. You know, I'm not going to ask you, hey, what's your favorite color?
Yeah. You
know? I'm going to go deeper. And I always want to know what your story is because we all have a story.
Right.
We all have a story. And I think that's human connection.
Well, and it's the thing that, you know, you're not doing it as a way to stand out. But sometimes that is the thing, like by being yourself,
right.
By truly being vulnerable, by being courageous or being honest, that is the thing that will sometimes separate you from other people, but not as a tactic. It's just, again, that's
just
who you choose to be in the world.
I don't put my highlight reel out in the world.
Yeah.
Right? Because, I mean, Kate Spade put her highlight reel out in the world and so many other people that we just saw the good stuff. I think that most people connect to, I hate to say it, but most people connect to pain. They connect to your challenges. They connect to your struggles.
Well, because if you're not hearing the stuff other people are going through, particularly other entrepreneurs, you feel a sense of guilt or shame that
Absolutely.
It's not going that well for mm-hmm. you. Mm-hmm. And so if you only see the best of reel or the highlight reel, or you only hear like everything's great.
Yeah. I'm like, hey, let me tell you about my screw-ups.
Yeah. You know? Well, and what we learn from screw-ups, right?
Yes.
Like, there's actually a lot of gold in that.
Yes. Yes. And I've screwed up a lot. So, you know, and I want to share it because maybe someone will learn from it. Yeah. Maybe someone will be inspired.
So talk to me a little bit about your love of fashion and creativity. Ooh. And how it even impacts the photos you guys took on your website.
Thank you for noticing that, because I put a lot of effort and time and hired a photographer that I had been coveting for years, Richard Israel, and a stylist, the Queen City Style, Whitley Hamlin. And, you know, when I thought of my personal brand, I approached her and said, I want big, bold, colorful. And I think I'm pretty stylish and putting things together, but I was like, for this next level, I need to hire somebody because I really want next level. And I wanted it to be mixes of patterns and colors. And I said, let's do some glamour. And she took me on an awesome shopping spree, and I invested in some really nice pieces for this shoot. And it turned out beyond what I expected. And it's now on my website. It's in a lot of my content. It'll be in some upcoming ads in magazines. But I really wanted this next level, like, hey, Jay-Z, let me reintroduce myself. You know? Nice. And that was that. I think that's what I accomplished. At least that's, I think it does kind of rattle my CPA colleagues.
Well, yeah. And then, but I love, because you also said way back, like, you wanted to go to FIT, you love fashion. Yeah. So what is being able to do this now as this adult you?
I can incorporate my passion, even though I don't work in fashion, I can still incorporate my passion and my love for it in how I dress and how I interact with people, because, you know, I don't have a dress code in my company. My dress code is just look, you know, I tell my girls, like, you know, look professional and be yourself.
Yeah.
And that's what I do, you know. And, you know, I was 4 years old and I made my mother take me to Woolworths. Do you remember Woolworths?
Mm-hmm, yeah, I do.
And I made her buy me these big mint green clip-on earrings and mint green eyeshadow. That was the color in the 70s, right?
Yep.
And I just, from a young age. And so I want to incorporate that love of fashion into what I do, because I think that even if you're not doing what you really want to do, you can still incorporate it into your life.
Yeah.
Right? And still find joy.
And you said you haven't had a lot of fear with being courageous and standing out. But what would you say for some of our listeners who maybe they don't have that same relationship to being courageous, or maybe they have a little more fear, or maybe it's just taking up a little more bandwidth that they'd like?
Sure.
What would you say for those people who aren't like you?
Yeah. Gosh. I mean, I was a young brown girl who would always walk into a room full of Caucasian American people. And so, you know, I think I learned from an early age that I automatically stand out, so I'm going to have to deal with it. And I think that if people can realize that, you know, what they're fearful of is really bigger in their mind than really what is, that just taking a little step towards it, even if they take a little step,
yeah,
right, a little step each time, that they can conquer it.
And also, I just think there's such freedom when you're actually being yourself, like, in the long run.
Oh, yeah. It takes more energy to wear that mask.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you just take your mask off just a little bit, you know, just a little bit each time, you're going to find that you're going to connect with people on a whole different level.
And there's something that Brené Brown says.
Love her.
In her book, I think it's latest one. Is it
Dare to Lead?
Yeah.
Love Dare to Lead, yeah.
She talks about something about, you know, vulnerability is not laying all your shit out on the table. Like, so say you're the owner of your company. It's not like telling all your staff all your shit.
Right.
It is being willing to be vulnerable and courageous in those moments where it can be reflecting back on, or it can be like, I don't have all the answers, but it's not dumping on people.
Correct.
And I think that's the other thing that's so interesting about, like, taking off the mask. Yes, we can be vulnerable, but it doesn't mean that you're handing your pain on to somebody
Correct.
Else. Or your fears, all of a sudden they're dumped in someone else's
Correct.
Life.
And I think that one of the things I do is I take responsibility and I own my stuff. I own it and I take responsibility for it. So, you know, I don't like to dump on people, but I'm saying, here's the situation I'm in. You know, I'm going through this really bad thing and I need you guys all to know it because one day I might have a meltdown and you need to know why. Right. Yeah. But I don't dump it. It's more of like, I need you to know where I'm at. And in turn, I need you to tell me where you're at. Right. So it goes both ways.
So how did you decide to write the book and what drove you to be like, okay, there's something here that I think other people could really resonate with?
Gosh, you know, that's a great question. I really feel like God just placed it on my heart. And it was one of those heart things that sits with you, right? Mm-hmm. It sits in your heart until you actually execute it.
Yeah.
And so it's been in my heart for a few years now. And I literally... I made the decision to go to a publisher. Fabi Presler at Spark is doing my book, and you know, I was like, well, I know a publisher, so okay, so I can go talk to her. And I went to talk to her and I said, okay, I think I want to do this. And I literally just went into execution mode, and it's taken me a process of about a year to actually write it. And I'm really proud of the product that has come out, but it was also therapeutic for me, right? It was also therapy. And it shares my life and my journey and the vulnerable parts of my journey. And I hit topics that are kind of buzzwords and buzz topics, but they're topics that I think that we all in some way, shape, or form might experience. And I just kind of go deep into it and try to relate to readers. And how did this affect you? You know, did postpartum depression affect you? Did getting fired affect you, you know, because these things happen to me. And if I can overcome these, then, you know, you can.
It's like the human condition through your story.
Yeah. And I've always been fascinated with the human condition and connection. I think that's just, you know, who I've always been.
Well, I think so many times, like, we do learn from each other. And if we can hear that someone else went through something similar.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's not a comparison game, but sometimes you hear someone's story and you're like, wow, if they could make it through that. I think I can handle what I'm going through.
Exactly.
I just needed a new perspective.
Exactly. Or, hey, can you give me a new perspective on stepping out into entrepreneurship or getting divorced or, you know, even on racism? You know, I talk about a little bit about my experience with that in the South. And I think that people, you know, if you could be relatable to people, you sell yourself. Like, all of my clients say to me, like, man, we love working with you. You're so fun. You're so informative. You're so, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you relate to people, you will automatically sell yourself.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, because you're being yourself. And it's a conversation. It's a relationship. And it's not being sold to.
Yeah. I mean, I had a massive meltdown with they're like my brothers now, but with my first client in like year one or two, you know, you're not supposed to cry. And I was going through some really bad stuff and I had a massive meltdown and I was like, man, this is about as vulnerable as I can get.
Yeah.
But they love that about me. Right?
But so you're attracting the right people.
Yes.
The people, they're a hell yes.
The hell yeses.
We want more of that. We want more of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. This has really, really been amazing. Where can people find you?
Thank you. This has been awesome to talk to you. So you can find me on the web. It's PAICPA.com is my business website, and my new brand, which I really want everyone to go and sign up to get offers about my upcoming book release, is NeshaPai.com. That's NeshaPai.com.
And we'll definitely put this in the show notes.
Great. And I'm on Instagram. I love Instagram.
Okay, great.
So Nisha Pai and Pai CPA on Instagram.
No surprise that you're creative and visually minded that you'd be on Instagram.
Not many CPAs are. So
no, not many CPAs. But again, here's another place of you standing out.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I had fun.
If you enjoyed this and want more, take the next step and learn the four critical elements of brand attraction in a free download at spearcreativeedge.com. That's spearcreativeedge.com. It'll also be in the show notes. Also, subscribe to this podcast to stay connected to more behind-the-scenes brand conversations with entrepreneurs and brand creators. We welcome your rating and review on iTunes so more people can find us. This show is brought to you by Spear Creative Edge, a strategic branding business. We help small business owners build a strong brand foundation so they can connect with their ideal clients more quickly and use their time, money, and energy more effectively. Learn more at spearcreativeedge.com.